Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Ik vind het fantastisch dat zoveel mensen in Nederland en over onze landsgrenzen kijken. In Spanje en in België en in Frankrijk en Duitsland. We krijgen overal reacties vandaan. En goed om te weten dat er wereldwijd vandaag zo'n 40 miljoen mensen op dit programma afstemden. Het programma met een boodschap van hoop en liefde. En in de Christelijke Kathedraal spreekt Stephen Post. Why good things happen to good people. Let op. En we hebben Nederlands bekendste poppenspeler als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland. Een koor uit Noorwegen dat zingt in de Crystal Cathedral. En de bekende gospelzanger Larnell Harris. Kortom, allemaal ingrediënten voor een hele fijne dienst vanuit de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power. Now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Good morning. My father is going to be interviewing a wonderful man. He's an inspiring psychologist. His name is Dr. Stephen Post. And he'll be sharing how research has found that loving and caring people truly live happier, more satisfying lives. We also have Larnell Harris. He is the sensational Christian recording artist who will be singing this morning. We have all the way from Norway, the Skruk Choir under the direction of Per Odvarhildre. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And so, O Lord, we stand in your presence today. We stand in awe of you. We stand in the reality that your goodness just continues to shine in our lives. And so we give you praise and thanksgiving for everything and always. Amen.
Let's listen to these words of St. Paul
as recorded in the book of Romans, words of hope and encouragement for all people. We know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us what we need? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principles, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, thank you. The Skrugge Choir from Norway, you are wonderful. And may I say, I am so jealous of the director. I shaved this morning. It's a wonderful beard. Wonderful. The Spilt Choir, all the way from Norway, one of the most famous and celebrated choirs in the world, and we're happy to share your singing today and around the globe. Thank you very, very much. Now, my guest this morning is Dr. Stephen Post, and I've never had a guest who's more intelligent, more respected in the academic world. He is an author. He is an ordained theologian. He is, I'm holding it up right here, one of the most creative writers I've ever had the privilege to read. This book is entitled Why Good Things Happen to Good People. Now, that's a tremendously provocative, insightful, and inspiring title. And, boy, Dr. Francis Collins endorses it. Sister Helen Prejean, Dr. Martin Seligman, the head of the positive psychology movement in the world today. And I'm on the back cover. I say about it, in my entire lifetime, I have never read a book that presents the benefits of giving for the giver as well as this one does, and using such powerful science in the process. Welcome, Dr. Stephen Post. Thank you, thank you. Well, you're one of the newest friends and one of the most valued and intelligent and insightful psychologists of our time, and that you've come into my life is a gift of God. I want to thank you for that. Anyway, let's get to the point. What this book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People. Right. Tell me about it.
Well, this is a book that takes a look scientifically through 50 different studies across the United States at the benefits of being a giver, at the benefits of being a generous person. One of your old friends, the Christian psychiatrist Carl Menninger, said, love cures both those who give it as well as those who receive it. And it turns out that in all of these studies, as you look at people's lives over the course of their lifetimes from youth or even in dealing with any particular difficult illness, including alcoholism, those who are generous, who are helping others, tend to be healthier, they tend to be happier, and odds are they'll live a little longer too. So when Jesus said in Acts 20, 'tis better to give than to receive, we can now say, aha, and science says it's so.
Wow. Now this just isn't an author talking and writing. He is a scientific scholar. Tell me, you live and work among the scientists. You know them. You met Dr. Dawkins, I know.
Yes.
Now, you know the world out there. Tell me, how do you maintain such a strong faith in Jesus Christ and in God when you have to live and work in a world where that viewpoint is not necessarily respected?
Well, I think it's really important to go into the world. It would be easy for me to be a seminary professor or to teach at a divinity school, and I would enjoy that. I've been tempted to do it over the course of my career on more than one occasion. But I've always felt that the best use of my gifts, and in a sense my mission in life, has been to work in the scientific environment. So for the last 20 years, I've been in the intense academic medical environment, Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine.
And you are in there.
Yes, I am. I'm a professor there. Everybody studies disease and human deficit, and that's really important. But just imagine, if we could take 5% of the scientific resources that go into the study of disease and study the most positive human aspects, forgiveness, an attitude of gratitude, compassion, agape love, spirituality, and health. If we just take 5% of all the money that goes into the study of health and look at this most positive aspect of the human experience, we would actually do more to improve health than you could ever imagine, because public health, I always say, isn't just about bugs, lead paint, and that kind of thing. It's also a lot about how we live. It's about the love that we have in our hearts that protects us from negative emotions, from stress, from hostility. It's all about the things that are gifts of the spirit.
And how in the world can negative thinking people, especially the ultimate negative thinker, who I would say would be an atheist, how would negative thinking people develop enthusiastic, joyous, happy, healthy personalities?
Well, the book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People, isn't just about science. It tells great stories in every chapter. Every chapter is about an expression of love. There's a chapter on attentive listening that begins with a man named Dan Gottlieb, a psychologist who was in a terrible car accident in Philadelphia. He was in the hospital, paraplegic, thinking of suicide, and along came a night nurse. She approached him and she said, "Dr. Gottlieb, I have a problem. I'm thinking about killing myself. Can I speak with you?" And he said, "Sure." So she sat down, and as he listened to her so attentively, and as he helped her with her problems, he realized, I can live my life as a paraplegic because I can help others in this way of love. And now he runs a big NPR radio show in Philadelphia called Voices in the Family. So every chapter has stories of people who themselves benefited from giving love in some special way, and then it gives how-to and even a scale, and so that you can assess your strengths in that particular area of giving.
I would do anything I could do to get the American people to buy this book and put it on the bestseller list. There are some books on the bestseller list that are promoting atheism, which doesn't generate enthusiastic, healthy, happy, wonderful, loving people. Quite the contrary. Negative thoughts produce negative results. And this is such a, to find such a scientist that you are, recognized with the scientific community, coming out with a positive book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People.
Well, it's inspired by Marty Seligman, as you said, the king of positive psychology, and by Dr. Robert Shuler, in my view, the genius of positive theology. I remember asking you for your definition of sin, and you said, sin is not having faith in your dreams.
Oh, dude, that's good.
And, you know, that is good. Yeah. And this book, you know, it's about a dream, because since I was 16 years old up in a church-related high school in New Hampshire, I was studying agape love, and all my life I've been blessed by God in one way or another, whether it was in research, or theology or psychology, to be able to stay with this theme and finally bring together agape with the best we have in the human sciences.
It's fantastic. Well, go out and buy it, order it, read it, and pass it on. Thank you, Stephen, so much.
And thank you. And for my co-author, Jill Neimark, too, who's a journalist in New York, she's delighted. I'm sure she's going to be watching.
So, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Post.
Thank you
very, very much.
To shower him with praise. But what can be my worship if I come before his throne and no life has found his mercy through my own? Look at your hands, are they splintered, scarred, and bruised? Are they pierced and torn like those that bore the cross for you? Look at your I saw beneath the nails from drawing in the dirt God's place.
Just look at your hands. Wherever there's a captive, there's a reason to be free and a yearning to return to life as it was meant to be. But if these hands don't point the way to those in prison still, the question to be answered is who will look at your hands? Are they splintered, scarred, and bruised? Are they pierced and torn like those that bore the cross for you? Look at your hands. Is the salt beneath the nails from drawing in the dirt God's plan for all the earth? You say you is there. Just look at your hands. We cannot be complacent, just sitting in our pews, content to let another do what we can do. Look at your hands. Are they splintered, scarred, and bruised? Are they pierced and torn? Like those that bore the cross for you. Look at your hands. Is there something in the nails from drawing in the dirt? God's plan for all the earth. If you care, the evidence is there. Just look at your hands. Won't you look?
Thank you, Larnell. His new CD is Larnell, I Wanted to Be a Star. And he is a star for God in this world. Great to have you back.
Een geweldige gospel van Larnell Harris. De gast van morgen bij Hour of Power Nederland, daar ben ik, moet ik eerlijk zeggen, een beetje bang voor. Want het is een hedendaagse nar en hij steekt de gek met iedereen. Maar dat doet hij op een goedmoedige manier. Hij is Nederlands bekendste poppenspeler. Maar we gaan proberen de man achter de poppenspeler te zoeken. Hij is in meer dan 40 landen geweest en zet zich vooral in voor mensen, met name ook jongeren, die verdrukt worden, bijvoorbeeld door oorlogsgeweld. Dus de naam is Aad Peters. Aad, goedemorgen.
Dag Jan, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen. Ja.
Ja. Oké. Wat gaan we doen?
Ja, daar was ik al bang voor. Ik ga jou interviewen.
Oh, sorry.
Nou, we beginnen met dit. Jij kijkt, je bent veel op reis, maar je kijkt graag naar Hour of Power. Waarom is dat?
Nou, graag weet ik niet, maar ik kijk er met regelmaat naar.
Ja.
Dat moet ik gelijk zeggen. Nou, wat ik heel interessant vind, omdat in de huidige ontwikkeling in Nederland, zeg maar, ik het toch bijzonder vind dat er al heen en lang toe trouwens, er gewoon ook een programma is wat Helden Evangelie vertelt. Dus in die zin, in een tijd waarin gewoon heel Nederland, zeg maar, alle kanten uit huppelt, of in verwarring is of niet, enzovoort. Vind ik het een interessant programma, ja. En daarom kijk ik ernaar. Ik wil niet zeggen dat het altijd mijn programma is, maar ik vind het in de huidige tijd zeker een goed gegeven dat zo'n programma er is, ja.
Want je bent een hele bekende poppenspeler in Nederland. We zien je vaak op televisie met allerlei figuren, zoals Joffrey, het Bulletje, Stekeltje, noem maar op. Bij Henny Huisman, RTL, EO. Wat trek je nou aan om juist in het buitenland in probleemgebieden te gaan poppenspelen?
Nou, dat was eigenlijk al heel lang geleden. Anna van der Bijl heeft me ooit in 1983 gevraagd om tijdens de oorlog in Libanon te gaan spelen. In Libanon, voor in de oorlog. Ik speelde toen al heel veel. Het waren intussen trouwens al 50 landen waar ik geweest ben. En ik vind eigenlijk dat als je hier in alle veilige kerken over God praat en over vergeving praat en over wat alles praat, dat is allemaal mooi. Maar dat is interessanter om het te doen waar het echt speelt. Dus bijvoorbeeld in 1983, toen Anna van der Bijl me uitnodigde om daar te gaan werken in Libanon, met een theatervoorstelling wat over vergeving ging. Ik dacht, ja, dat kan ik hier allemaal mooi in de kerken spelen. En niet dat het hier ook niet belangrijk is, en misschien juist wel hier ook, maar zeker ook daar. Dus ik vind het evangelie, zeg maar, hoort ook daar waar dingen spelen. Nou, en ja, dus daarvoor ga ik er vaak naartoe.
Ja, maar het moedige vind ik dat je bent ook in Iran geweest, dat je met name ook naar moslimlanden gaat.
Ja, maar ik ga ook naar andere landen. Ik bedoel, in India. Maar op dit moment speelt Iran en het Midden-Oosten. Omdat ik op dit moment programma's in het Farsi aan het maken ben en in het Arabisch. Daar ben ik gewoon voor gevraagd, overigens. Maar dat doe ik al heel lang. Ik word vaak gevraagd voor moeilijke projecten. Ja,
tegelijkertijd, en dat vind ik fascinerend, ben je een nar, een comediant die met een pop een rol speelt. Je hebt daar overigens...
Ik kom dus net uit Beirut, dus ik had eigenlijk helemaal geen poppen bij me. Maar dit heb ik wel, dus het is een Arabisch, het is een ezel. Ja. En nou is de humor hiervan is, zeg maar, dat Arabieren over het algemeen helemaal niet van ezels houden. Dat vinden ze drie keer niks, want dat is het laagste van het laagste. Ja. En daarom heb ik juist een ezel genomen, want Jezus kwam op een ezel. Hè? En dit is Abdu. En Abdu, ik kan zijn stem helaas niet doen, want ik ga naar het Midden-Oosten. Ik speel met Abdu. Ja. Ik doe zelfs een soort vorm van interviews, maar ik spreek natuurlijk geen Arabisch. Dus zijn stem wordt later ingesproken. Die teksten schrijven we achteraf. Ja. En Abdu, dat betekent servant of God. Weet je? Dus, en dat vond ik ook wel aardig, een ezel. Ja. Hij is mateloos populair, dit type trouwens.
Oh ja?
Ja, samen met de koning. Dus we hebben ook nog een leeuw. En dat is ook weer een leeuw, maar die kan dan weer niet praten. Die heeft een kunstgebit. Dat is een hele oude leeuw. Die speel ik dan ook. Dan is de koning is dan die murmelt. En zo praat de koning dan. Ja. En dan snapt iedereen wat die pop zegt. Ja. En dan hoef ik de taal niet te spreken. Snap je? Dus, en dat is Abdu. Ja. Dus hij is ooit een keer gemaakt voor de Marokkaanse markt, zeg maar, of in Marokko. Dus vandaar die een beetje van een Marokkaanse.
Ja, dat, ja, 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 ja.
Maar daar waren vier keer gearresteerd en dat vond ik wel welletjes.
Wat is nou je boodschap dan? Wat wil je.
De boodschap is wisselen, dus dat betekent, zeg maar, ik vind als je. We praten over het evangelie als dat aan de orde komt, dus dat ontlopen we absoluut niet. Maar het betekent niet dat ik in elk programma over het evangelie heb. Dus we hebben het over kinderrechten, we hebben het over hoe ga je om het dik zijn. Houdt God van je als je dik bent. Het zijn educatieve programma's met heel veel humor.
Nou, wat me fascineert is hoe je nou met als poppenspeler in het Midden-Oosten, waar we alleen maar hoorden over haat, over oorlog, over vernietiging, over dood, over bommen, over bloed. Dat je daar betekenis kan hebben als Nederlandse poppenspeler. Dat vind ik fascinerend.
Ja, maar dat is niet zo. Oké, maar dat heeft te maken dat je maakt educatieve programma's. Gevaar is relatief. Dus als je hier op de televisie bommen ziet afgaan, of als je iets over Iran hoort, dan heb je gebeeld. Iran bijvoorbeeld, wat ik ontzettend belangrijk vond, is om zelf Iran te zien. Omdat wij hebben absoluut geen beeld van Iran. Iraniërs zijn prachtige mensen, ook heel gecompliceerd hoor. Want het is een heel dubbel, goed, allemaal duizenden agendas die ze erop nahouden. Maar tegelijkertijd is het een prachtig land. We hebben helemaal geen gezicht bij Iran. Dus vind ik het los dat ik natuurlijk ook graag praat over dat God de oplossing in Jezus gegeven heeft. Vind ik het ook belangrijk dat wij gewoon als mensen andere mensen kunnen zien. En dus ook Iraniërs kunnen zien. Of dat. En ik ben met een pop door Iran gegaan, maar ik ben ook met die ezel in het Midden-Oosten. Los dat je alleen maar over God praat of over het evangelie, praat je ook over menselijke aspecten. Dus hoe ga je met elkaar om? Dus we maken educatieve programma's. En dat gaat niet altijd over God. In de meeste gevallen wel, maar niet altijd direct. Snap je? Dus en verder is bommen en granaten en zo. Ik vind Amsterdam kan ook gevaarlijk zijn. Dat is wel een relatief begrip.
Dus even terug in eigen land, even naar jouw jeugd. Je bent als kind opgegroeid in een christelijke commune in Rotterdam, midden in de Rosse Buurt.
Ja, het Jesus People. Ja. Waar gewoon allemaal hippies met lang haar, weet je wel.
Ja, ben je
ik ben sommige dingen niet van teruggekomen. Nee. Ja.
Waarom dat staatje?
Dat heb ik het gevoel dat ik dat ben. Je mag wel blij zijn dat ik een stropdasom heb, Jan. Dat is voor mij
ik was ontroerd.
Je was ontroerd?
Ja. Want ik heb jou nog nooit een stropdas gezien.
Nee, op televisie heb je mij nog nooit een stropdas gezien. Nee. Maar dat vind ik ook niet erg. Ik vind het leuk om jezelf te relativeren. Ja. Dus.
Je speelt naast wat je doet wereldwijd. Heb je nog steeds een rol in Nederland met alle stemmetjes. En, voor de mensen die het even niet zo gauw herkend hebben, laat eens even een paar stemmetjes horen.
De meest bekende is natuurlijk Henny Huisman. Die intussen is christelijk geworden, heb ik begrepen. Hij was Bulletje. Ja. Dat is dan Bulletje. Ja. Even kijken, wordt het wel Spijkertje? Nee, die kan ik zo niet doen. Ik moet eigenlijk een pop in mijn handen hebben om dat...
Ben je dat nou? Ja, Sir Joffrey kan je toch wel doen?
Nee, dat kan ik ook niet. Dan ga ik mijn stem. Ik moet een pop in mijn handen hebben en dan ga ik daarin of zo.
Maar je wilt de volgeling van Jezus Christus zijn. Heb je in Nederland heel veel mensen die zeggen, nou, dat zou ik ook wel willen. Ja. Je bent origineel, je bent niet een doorsnee iemand. En toch zeg je, dat is het anker in mijn leven.
Nou ja, jij zegt, je wil hoe zei je dat? Dat klopt natuurlijk wel, maar dat heb ik natuurlijk heel lang geleden beslist. En dat ben ik nog steeds mee eens. Maar dat is iets, daar kies je dus voor. En in die zin, ik ben nu gewoon 35 jaar christen. Ik denk de eerste 15 jaar heb ik elke dag erover getwijfeld of dat verhaal van Jezus wel klopte. Daarnaast ben ik, zo'n 40, 50 landen in allemaal andere culturen dat nog eens duizend keer gaan checken of Jezus wel het verhaal was. En na 15 jaar dacht ik, ja, ik ben een twijfelaar, dus ik moet die twijfel ook maar eens relativeren. Dus het verhaal van Jezus is voor mij nog steeds, overigens waar ik ook in welke cultuur kom, nog steeds de meest logische zelfs ook. Nog los wat je ervaart met God, zeg maar.
Dat zeg je wat?
Ja, maar dat is, laat ik zeggen, ik geloof wel dat er zelfs dat er betere religieuze systemen zouden zijn, misschien dat christendom. Maar God heeft dat ene antwoord gegeven en daarom ben ik nog steeds christen. Die structuren die we er als christen op nahouden, daar kan ik natuurlijk soms problemen mee hebben. En dan kan ik soms zeggen, nou, andere religies lijken me veel interessantere structuren hebben. Maar die hebben niet die oplossing, want die leggen toch altijd weer terug bij mezelf. Dat ik natuurlijk zelf weet dat ik het niet... Ik heb limits en die limits die kan ik niet overwinnen.
Dus wat doet Jezus in jouw leven?
Nou, ten eerste vergeeft hij het dan. Dat, snap je? Dus die vergeving van God uit. Dat ik dus die limits heb, zeg maar. En daardoor ik dus ook geen schaamtegevoel naar boven heb. In die zin, hè, dat je zegt, nou, God, nee, we zijn vrienden, zeg maar. Ondanks dat, met alle respect uiteraard. Daardoor durf ik me ook vrij. Maar daarvoor durf ik ook zo vrij te bewegen. Dus daarom ben ik ook niet bang in gevaarlijke gebieden. Want ik kom dus net uit Beirut en er zijn heel veel mensen natuurlijk bang. Dan zeg ik, ja, dat snap ik wel. Maar als je nou de hele dag praat en vroom bent en met je handen omhoog staat te zingen, maar dan komt het erop aan en dan blijf je thuis omdat je niet de straat op durft. Hoe is die realiteit dan? Ja. En dan moet je niet zeggen, ja, dat mag ik als buitenlander niet zeggen. Nee, ik zeg het in Amsterdam ook. Ik zeg het ook als ik met Herman Brood op stap ging in het verleden. Weet je, dan, als je over Jezus praat, nou, wat doe je er dan mee? Weet je?
Ja. Ja. Ik heb mateloos respect voor wat je doet. Ik weet iets meer dan je hebt kunnen vertellen en ik vind het geweldig. En je bent een vredestichter waar dat mogelijk is. Dus ga ermee door.
Leuk je weer te ontmoeten.
Wederzijds. Ja. Dat was Aad Peters en wij gaan terug naar de Christelijke Kathedraal.
I've been a student of crosses, just not on purpose, but just kind of a personal interest for years. I don't know when or how it started, but I appreciate art and I study art. And one of the things I've appreciated is looking at the various crosses there are in the world. I think I was 13 years old when the cross on top of the Tower of Hope was erected. And it was an incredible sight to see a crane lift this cross up on top of the tower. That cross is 90 feet tall. It is the size of a 9-story building. The base, you wouldn't know it, but it's 6 feet square at the base. Bigger than that, I think it's even more than 6 feet square. It's big. When it was erected, it was the tallest structure and highest point in all of Orange County, 236 feet high. I have often looked at crosses from a design standpoint and thought to myself, I wish it was possible to design a cross that was still a cross from every angle. No matter what way you looked at it, it was still a cross. If you notice, if you look at a cross straight on, all you see is a line. You see that? All you see is a line. There's no cross at all. The cross only becomes apparent when it is turned, ever so slightly. And once it's turned, then all of a sudden the cross appears. So I've always thought in my mind, I just wish I could design a cross that looks like a cross no matter what angle you look at it. I've seen people who have made an attempt to do that by creating two arms. One arm that comes straight at you, another one that goes straight behind you, and the other arms that go straight out. So no matter which way you look at it, you can still see it. But then you see two arms, and it's not really a cross either. And guess what? A few weeks ago, when my wife and I were in Berlin, I found the most amazing cross. This cross will always look exactly like a cross no matter what angle you see it from. It will follow you as you walk around the city. It's absolutely a work of art. And guess who made it? You'll never guess. It was built when the wall was up in Berlin and the communists built it. I kid you not. The communists built it. They didn't even know what they were building. They put it 1,000 feet in the air so everybody in Berlin, no matter where they walked, would be followed by this cross. It's the communication towers in Berlin, 1,100 feet tall. Now, you may not see the cross right away, but look at the ball. Do you see the ball? And on the ball is the cross. Here's how it works. The sun shines on this ball and creates a cross. And when the communists saw it, they did everything they could to get rid of it. They tried to paint it, and it wouldn't go away. They tried to take the shine off of the ball, and it wouldn't go away. And no matter where you walk around the city, if the sun shines on the ball, there's the cross. The most amazing thing. The power of the cross. You know, the cross is a symbol of our Christian faith. And this morning I'm going to be talking about three things that the cross symbolizes to us. The cross is a symbol of our faith. The cross is a symbol of our hope, and the cross is a symbol of our love. It starts with our faith. I'm going to read an interesting passage of Scripture, and it's one you wouldn't expect to see the true meaning of the cross. How many would ever guess to see that the true meaning of our Christian faith is found in the Old Testament? Of all places, in Numbers.
Listen to this passage.
As Moses was leading the people through the wilderness, the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water. We detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake, put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by this snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. That's it. That's the passage of Scripture. That's all we know. It sounds kind of almost hocus pocus. It sounds kind of like, what in the world? Why would that even be brought up in the Scriptures? How is that relevant to us today? And then we hear these words of Jesus Christ. In John 3, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, telling him he must be born again in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And I believe that God allowed those events to take place in the wilderness so that today you and I could have a symbol of our faith. That as we continue to sin in our grumbling, how don't we grumble all the time? "Lord, why do you allow this to happen to me? Lord, why did you lead me down this path? Lord, the food in this restaurant is really lousy. Lord, the traffic, do you realize what I have to deal with?" And how much time don't we spend, and how much time do we allow our minds to deal with grumbling and complaining? Because God is leading us in a certain way and certain things, and we're just not as comfortable as we wish we were today. We need to rejoice in the Lord always, to give thanks to God for all things. And when we look upon the cross of Jesus Christ, it is the symbol of our faith that our sins are forgiven, that hope is reborn. Two beautiful women. They look very much the same. Both of them walked into a jewelry store, and both of them picked out a beautiful piece of jewelry. It was a cross. Very beautifully designed, and just a few little accent diamonds, not big ones. It wasn't an expensive cross, but just enough to give it a little elegant design. And they both bought this cross, and they both paid the same price for the cross. And the one bought it because it made her chest look good. And another woman bought it because it made her heart look good. Same cross, different meaning. Same cross, different significance. Same cross, dramatic difference in cost. They each paid the same dollars. But for one, it was only dollars. And for the other, it was her entire life. cross is a symbol of our faith. Our faith in the God who died for us, that when we come to him, he will forgive our sins, and he'll give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he'll invite us to live with him forever in paradise. That's the symbol of the cross. It's a symbol of our faith. It is also a symbol of our hope, our positive thinking. The hope and the realization that as we go through life and we will continue to complain. You know, no matter what we do, we're going to continue to complain, but God's going to continue to forgive. And we'll continue to look at the cross and see God's grace for our lives. And as we do and we come across these negatives in life, we see the things we complain about. We look at the cross, and what do we see? We see a plus sign is what we see. We see a negative turned into a plus. The cross of Jesus Christ takes the negative things in our lives, and through hope, for it is truly a symbol of hope, he takes these negatives and he turns them into positives. It is our mountain moving ability that we realize that as we face our mountains, we face our struggles, we can say to our mountains, move, and it will get up and it will move. This is our symbol of hope. I have a dear friend of mine who is just a fabulous man in many ways. He went to visit some acquaintances that he was trying to get familiar with because they are going to be related in marriage in the not too distant future. So he went to their home. He actually flew, I believe it was Dallas, Texas, to meet with them. And he soon found out that they're agnostic. The difference between an atheist and an agnostic is an atheist is convinced that there is no God, militantly convinced that there is no God, while agnostic has a door open that says there could be a God, but currently I can't believe it. In any event, they were in one of those two camps. And he sat down and they were talking, and somehow the whole idea that he was a Christian came up. And they asked him, how in the world could you ever believe that old thing, that Bible, those old words? How is it possible that you can believe that thing? Well, the guy happens to be an architect. In fact, his wife's an architect as well. And my friend, being a bright lawyer, instantly came up with this idea. He said it was like the Holy Spirit. I don't know where it came from. It just came into my mind. He said, I'll tell you why I believe it. It's because of reverse engineering. I said, reverse engineering? He said, I don't know where I come up with reverse engineering. I just said it's like reverse engineering. I says, what do you mean reverse engineering? He said, well, you live it first and see if it works. And if it works, it must be true. He says, I've been living it for the last 30 years, trying to find something in it that doesn't work, and it has never let me down. And the guy jumped off his chair and he goes, now that's what I call thinking. Reverse engineering. And what hope does for us, what the symbol of the cross does for us, it gives us the hope that these words within this book, when we apply them to our lives, actually work. And when we live it, it proves itself to us. The negatives, the minuses, get turned into a plus through our hope of the symbol that cross gives to us.
symbol of hope. The cross is a symbol of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. It is a symbol of God's enormous, unbelievable, unfailing love for every single human being on planet Earth. And when you look at the cross, it is clear that's what it is. It consists of a vertical beam. God's love to us. It's vertical. But at the same time, there's a horizontal beam. So that God's love comes to us, fills us with his love, and then the vertical reality comes into place when we allow that love to overflow and we love others. Jesus said it succinctly. The commands are summed up in these two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love, that's what it is. Love. Love the Lord your God. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Charles Steinmetz was an electrical wizard for General Electric in the early 1900s. General Electric was having problems with one of their big machines. And no one in their company could fix it. And he had retired, and he said, "Don't ever call me. I'm retired." And they couldn't fix it. They did everything they could. And finally, the chairman of the board said, "Do you know what, guys? We had better call Charles. I think he can fix it." They called Charles out of retirement. He wasn't too happy about it, but he came down to the main headquarters, and he went in there, and he looked over the machine for about an hour. He studied it. And after an hour, he went and took a piece of chalk and put an X on the equipment. So there's your problem. They fixed it, knowing that was the problem. And he sent them a bill for $10,000. Now, let me remind you, this is the early 1900s. That's when a cup of coffee was 2 cents. That's when a new car was $800. That's when an acre of land could be bought for a few dollars, et cetera, et cetera. And he sent them a bill for $10,000. They said, "We want that bill itemized." So he itemized them. $1, putting an X on the machine. $9,999 for knowing where to put that X. Here's the question this morning. Do you know where to put the X in your life to give you the faith and the hope and the love that God has for you? Do you know where to put the cross? Is it there as an adornment for your chest, or is it there because it's on your heart? Today I invite you to join me in singing a song that I've known all my life. I don't know when I learned this song. But we can just sing it a cappella. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come in to
to my heart, Lord Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we stand in your presence today with a song in our heart and the cross to adorn it. And so we thank you, Lord, for the tremendous sacrifice and gift that your Son, Jesus Christ, gave for us. And so for that, we give you praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit touch your hearts and your minds with the knowledge of God's love. And may you go forth with peace. Amen.
En op deze prachtige zomerse dag neem ik afscheid met Hour of Power. Heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken. Fijn dat u en jij op dit programma hebben afgestemd. Wil je meer weten? Kijk dan op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Heel leuk is dat we elke dag, op je computer althans, kunt beginnen met een bemoediging of een gebed. Dat kun je downloaden van onze website. En daar staat nog veel meer nieuws over onze boeken, onze uitgaven en al onze evenementen. We doen graag veel, want Hour of Power heeft een aantal zeer enthousiaste kijkers en donateurs. En dat maakt het ook zo fijn om voor Hour of Power te werken en bezig te zijn. Iedereen een hele fijne zondag toegewenst en graag tot volgende week.